Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gileadi here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. Thanks, Steve. Great to be back. Good to have you back.
It's good to be back here with you as well.
And wow, we're coming toward the end of another series. After 9 parts on the cross and I don't know how many on discipleship, we got one, maybe two more to do.
Maybe two.
And I think probably next week we'll be done with it and we'll move on to who knows what.
You must be adding lots of notes in between the weeks. That's what's going on.
Yeah, I've spent quite a few hours looking up notes. And we're not going to summarize all the shows, but we have done the last few shows on discipleship and how difficult it is to be a disciple and picking up your cross and following him and making sure you're not one of the people that gets left out when the door's barred and making sure you're not one of the people that says, Lord, Lord, we did all this stuff and now you forgot about me.
We're outside and he's going to go, yeah. Depart from me. I never knew you.
Yeah.
Oof. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. Very, very, very difficult scriptures.
Can we talk about something else?
Yeah. No, we will soon. Okay. We will soon. We really are going to wrap this up. And like we've said a couple of times during this series, we really feel that this is an important time in the history of the church where these things have to be said because we have seen such a change in the overall atmosphere, even within churches.
Yeah.
In terms of worship and sound doctrine and standing on the rock and having biblical teaching and so forth and so forth. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that go down to let's have everybody feel good and Jesus is nice and we're singing songs together. And
yeah.
And it's a very difficult time as we come down to the time of the end. These things are going to get more and more important.
Yeah, as you're speaking, you know, as we've talked about for even with the series on the cross and lately about being a disciple of the Lord, you know, Jesus says that, you know, if you go to build a tower and you don't calculate the cost and you don't have enough material to finish that tower,
yeah.
Someone's going to go, look, he didn't even know how to plan for what he was doing.
Yes.
And then he talks about, If one king is going into battle against an opposing king and he sees that he has more men, he's going to send a delegation to seek peace terms, those types of things. So those things are really important in the life of a disciple and growing. And even Paul talks about being mature as a disciple of the Lord and we're held accountable for where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
That if we are still on milk, as he would tell some of the communities that he would write to. It's like, you guys should be advancing and maturing in the faith, but yet you're going backwards.
Yeah.
You're letting someone come in and tell you false doctrines and you're believing them.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing happens in our day. There's solid teaching that is being taught, but somebody comes in with a false doctrine and we want to gobble it up. Like, oh, that sounds a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
It might be easier.
Yeah.
And we want to do things easy. And, most things take time. In our culturally, or I should say our technologically advanced culture, we tend to think that somehow we've eliminated the need for the growth and development portion of,
that's right.
Just developing the skills to enter the workforce and those types of things, even education. There's really no shortcuts for those things.
No.
There really aren't.
That's right.
We kind of think there are now because we have iPads and computers.
Right.
But you may be able to get information a little bit faster.
Right.
But you still have to absorb it. You still have to process and you still have to live through things that you have a life experience that you can use to put forth even in preaching the gospel. We right. have to, you know, you and I encounter things on a week-to-week basis where, a day-to-day basis, where it puts the Word of God in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You go, I didn't think of that passage in that way before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I wasn't as merciful to this person or considerate to this person because they were having a bad day, and I was having a bad day too, but my bad day was more important than their bad day, so I was really short with them.
Yeah.
But God calls me to more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Being a disciple of Christ calls me to more than that. And that's the challenge.
Yes.
That's the challenge in saying, it's not just saying I've chosen Jesus, I've accepted him as my personal Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
As good as that is,
mm-hmm.
now what are you going to do with it?
Yes. It's more than going down to the front, signing the card, saying the prayer.
Yeah.
And then 70 years later say, yep, well, I've been a believer for 70 years.
I never went back to church, but I signed the card.
And we talked about how Jesus talked about striving to enter the narrow gate. It's a striving.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difficult road. It goes through the cross. It goes through Calvary. It's tribulation and it's suffering and it's carrying burdens. He says you have to pick up the cross and follow him. And like you just said, Steve, about, you know, if somebody has a good, easy message, we really like that in our humanity.
Oh, yeah.
And we can put 30,000 people into a place if we're going to talk about
mm-hmm.
how God wants us to be rich and have a nice car and have a nice job. And we have attempted over these last few shows to dissect exactly the words that Jesus used when it came to being a disciple. And there wasn't anything in there about guaranteed prosperity. There wasn't anything in there guaranteeing you were going to have an easy life.
Nope.
And there was nothing guaranteeing you to get good bonuses at work and
no.
buy a better car next time and all these things.
Yeah, it's interesting because in all the translations that we looked at, that didn't come up once.
No, never came up once.
Yeah.
And we're gonna do another, I promise there'll only be one more passage from Dr. Luke. And then we're gonna go through that today, and then with the rest of today and next week's show, we're gonna kind of say, well, now that we've covered all this, where are we now? You know, anyone who knows me is probably tired of me saying this, but we live in a very exciting time in history. It's just as important as the first century
mm-hmm.
because Paul and Peter and all those evangelists of the first century went out and preached to a pagan world, brought people to faith in Jesus. Gentile pagans came to faith in the Jewish Messiah, and the church was born.
Right.
It's really pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here we are in the still early part of the 21st century with a great falling away taking place, a lot of pagan ideas into our culture, the culture of death, which has moved into our culture, and we've become more hardened and more cynical and so forth. And all you have to do is, you know, watch the news every night and see how these government officials attacking each other to see what's going on there. And we now are facing preaching the gospel again to a pagan culture that isn't supposed to be pagan. And we are living in a very exciting time. You know, in Acts 17, it says you come from one blood and you're the place where you're supposed to be at the time you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to be here and now at this time
right.
to preach this gospel. And we're preaching this gospel. We're involved in the end time harvest. And that doesn't mean that the end is going to be next week or a month from now or even 2 years from now. It might be 50 years from now. It might be 100 years from now. But we're still in what's defined as the end time. And so this is a very, very important time to really think about what, Steve, you just said and what all of you know, that if you're going to be a disciple, you can't live like the rest of the world.
You can't live for yourself.
Right. And
yeah.
you can't say, well, this is okay, that's okay, the other thing's okay, because I signed the card 70 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's not what discipleship is about.
Right. Right. It's, you know, the end time is from the time that Jesus ascended into heaven.
Right.
Until the time that he's going to return.
Mm-hmm.
So the end times have been this whole stretch of history of yes. you know, church history,
yes.
world history,
yes,
that has gone on since Jesus ascended from Mount Tabor into heaven, and that, as you say, sorry bunch of guys, was looking up and going, well, where'd he go? What happened to him? Men of Galilee, why are you standing around looking around? He's gone. And it continues up until our day. So we are to be about in the fields, in the kingdom. You know, we are the laborers in the vineyard, and we are to bring in a harvest mm-hmm. worthy of heaven.
Yes.
And how do we do that effectively? How do we do that where our culture is so polarized? We live in a very polarized political culture mm-hmm. where our politics like supersede everything.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, I think a lot of people align their faith with their politics more than they do with the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, and it is the gospel message is to permeate. We are to be a light to the nations, mm-hmm. just as Israel was a light to the nations.
Mm-hmm.
We have that light of Christ to be a light to the nations, and we are to be that light in the darkness yeah. for people. And that light penetrates the darkness. But in fact, what's happening is the reverse. The darkness is encroaching upon the light.
That's right. We're taking it into the church.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we listen to somebody that has their own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And as believers, we go, oh, gosh, well, how do I counter that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
It's like Paul said, you know, you're not going to be a timid. Timidity is not one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You know, look at the Acts of the Apostles. We talk about Peter giving that bold
yeah.
confrontation. You know, you crucified him.
Mm-hmm.
And they were cut to the heart.
Yeah.
What do we do? Repent.
Yeah.
He didn't go, well, oh, geez, I don't know if I should really say that because they'd probably get mad at me. And well, that really wouldn't be politically correct to say that right now. It didn't say any of that.
Yeah.
You know, so our culture has really put a muzzle on the gospel.
Exactly.
On us.
Yeah, that's right. And the demonic kingdom has done that in a very masterful way.
Very subtle.
They've gotten to the point now where we as believers and we who are salt and light are now afraid to say something mm-hmm. because somebody's going to say, oh, you're narrow-minded, you're a bigot, you're a racist, you hate everybody.
Right, you're being judgmental.
Being judgmental, and and this is ridiculous because we're the ones that are supposed to be salt and light. And you'll never convince anybody out in the world that the reason things are falling apart in our country is that the family's been destroyed.
No, you're not going to convince.
Moral relativism, which started creeping in during the 60s, is now full-blown.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're redefining marriage.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's right, what's wrong. There is no right and wrong. It's whatever you perceive it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't say anything to anybody else about anything for fear that you might offend them. And this right. is what's crept into the church.
Yes.
And we talked about building the house on solid rock on the foundation compared to the shifting sand.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're building churches on shifting sand.
Exactly. Exactly. With as many different denominations
yeah.
that pop up. And you know, you bring up a good point there because you and I both talk to people from different backgrounds, different theological backgrounds. And there is such a, division where someone doesn't agree on one thing and they go, I'm not going to go to that church anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically want to start their own church.
Yeah.
So is the church built on the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
And what, you know, and there's the paradox is that, well, that's your interpretation of it.
Mm-hmm.
And as you and I were talking about the last show or two, those of us who are called to teach and proclaim God's word are going to be held to a higher
yes.
accountability because
yes.
of the words that we say and use to people.
Yes.
And you know, God can use anybody where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
It's when that disciple goes above and beyond where the Lord has them
mm-hmm.
that I found I would get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll just speak for myself. Mm-hmm. When I use the gifts and talents that God gave me in the manner that he was asking, things would go good.
Mm-hmm.
But if I stepped outside of that
right.
and talked about something that I really didn't have a good understanding about, but just based on my opinion, and I blurted out my opinion, I would get into trouble with
yes.
that. And I realized that early on. So,
because you're out of alignment.
You're out, right. You're out of alignment from where God has matured yeah. you or where yeah. you've allowed yourself to yes. mature as a believer.
Yeah. Exactly.
And as a disciple, you know, Jesus says, no disciple is greater than the master.
Mm-hmm.
And look at Peter. Whenever he stepped out of line,
yeah.
the Lord always rebuked him.
Yes.
Get behind me, Satan.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Peter, you're thinking as a human being does and not as God
right.
does.
That's right.
So you see it; it's evident in Scripture.
Yes, and speaking of Scripture, we've because the word is a sword.
Mm-hmm.
You can see all the great references in Hebrews and what Paul says in Ephesians and so forth. How the word of God is the sword; it's a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've put the sword away. I mean, sometimes we take a butter knife out and say, "Oh look what it says here." You know, or we've gotten rid of the sword because
yeah.
you know the sword offends people.
Yeah.
So. If we get the sword out and say, look what the word says about this, people go, oh, no, we can't have that. So, you know, once in a while we take out a little knife and show somebody, but
yeah.
it's pretty mamby-pamby
yeah.
in comparison
yeah.
to a two-edged sword. And this all comes from, you know, Paul wrote to Timothy and said at the time of the end, it was before the end came, there was going to be a great falling away. And
mm-hmm.
we are seeing that. I mean, Europe is a disaster. The United
yeah.
States and Canada are, you know, a few years behind, but are well on the way.
I mean, if you think of the decline just from, you know, the World War II era
oh, yeah.
to our day,
yeah.
tremendous decline
mm-hmm.
in faith.
And you go back to the book of Jeremiah and the religious leaders got mad at Jeremiah because he kept saying, you know what? You guys are doing wrong. The judgment's going to come. And they say, oh man, Jeremiah, you're full of it. We're the chosen people. We're the priests. We got the stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
And then false prophets came and said, you know, Jeremiah's full of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, you know, he's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like you guys. You know, the false prophets had big congregations. Jeremiah had, like, no congregation. But, you know, because nobody wants to hear the bad news.
No, nobody wants to hear the bad news. And even Jesus, if you look through the Gospels, crowds of people
mm-hmm.
didn't follow Jesus after John 6 when
yes.
you know, when he talked about
that's right
I'm the bread of life
yeah
unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood you have no life within you
yes
well
yeah
they left
exactly
and he and did Jesus go well you know gosh my collection is going to be down next Sunday
yeah.
wait a minute let me rephrase that
I'm
going down in the polls. He said, no, he asked the 12, do you want to leave as well?
Yeah.
And Peter says, Lord, to where would we go? You have the words of everlasting life.
Yeah.
And so when we're ready to walk away from something, especially our faith, we really need to ask ourselves, is it that other person that I have the issue with, or is it in my own heart?
Mm-hmm.
Is it in my own mind?
Mm-hmm.
Am I really asking God to reveal truth to me?
Yeah.
And am I willing to accept what God places in my heart if the Holy Spirit convicts me of whatever's there
mm-hmm.
that I can turn? Because if it's from the Holy Spirit, there's always going to be an opportunity to repent.
Yeah.
If it's a false conviction, you're going to feel condemnation from the devil.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's really from the Lord, you're going to know that you can turn and ask God for mercy.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, Marty Gibbs. First break already. Right, this is Gift of Grace Ministries. You can find us on giftofgraceministries.org. You can find a lot of stuff there. We'll be back in a minute and we'll start with the scripture verse.
Of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you ordain. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth. O Lord, how excellent is your name. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth. O Lord, how excellent is your name. You still with the praises of singers, the infants and babes whom you ordain. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? Our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth. O Lord, how excellent is your name. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth. O Lord, how excellent is your name.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
Yes, it is.
Stephen and I recently got to spend some time with Marty Getson.
Yeah.
He's just a cool guy. Anyway.
We need to have him on the show again.
Yeah. Been on twice. Anyway, let's do a Bible passage. Let's, if you have your Bible handy, and you should, we're going to go to Luke chapter 9, and we're going to read from verse 57 till the end. So, Stephen, why don't you go ahead and read that?
Okay. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Let me go first, Lord, and bury my Father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God."
Mm.
Wow.
This is another hard saying.
Mm.
Maybe not as hard as some of the others, but it's another hard saying. There's three men involved, and to really, to really see where this is, if you read a couple of verses before that, and we won't get into that, but Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. It says his face was set to Jerusalem. So he was going there to die. So this is the background to this interchange.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very, very important, very intense time. And there's three men involved. The first one, he kind of pipes right up, says, I'll follow you. Here I go. I'll follow you. Okay. So what are we going to do next? You know, go to Jericho, you know, do something, call down some lightning. I mean, let's go do something.
Yeah.
So Jesus gives this kind of odd response.
Yeah.
You know, the foxes, the birds, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. It's kind of an interesting response because what he's talking about there is, as we've been talking about in this series, this man doesn't know what he's asking. He's right. Eager. He wants to follow. And I'll go with you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But he hasn't counted the cost. Like the passage that we did last week about building the tower and having the military conflict.
Right.
This guy hasn't counted the cost. He's eager. Mm-hmm. So Jesus says, you know what? You're going to come and follow me. You may not even have the basic necessities of your life. You may not have a place to live. You may not have anything to eat. You may be very uncomfortable. You may have people that hate you. You may not even have a place to lay your head. So you haven't counted the cost. You don't understand what you're asking. There may be suffering involved.
Mm-hmm.
His two guys, James and John, said, hey, you know what? Can I sit on your right and I'm on your left? Do you guys know what you're asking?
Yeah.
Can you drink from the cup? I'm going to drink from. We already talked about that, about what the cup means. But this man, although he's eager, he doesn't have even an idea what following is going to mean. You know, we talked about Peter. When Peter finally says, oh, yeah, you know, I really love you and I'm ready to go. Jesus says, good. That's good enough now. You're going to go where you don't want to go. They're going to tie you up. And you're going to be led away by people to places you don't want to go.
Right.
Because that's going to be the cost of this. Mm-hmm. This guy pipes right up, says, I'll follow you. And he says, even the foxes and the birds may have more than you're going to have.
Yeah.
So even these simple creatures in nature may have more than you're going to have if you decide to follow me. He says he didn't have them. The Son of Man didn't have a place to lay his head.
Right.
Now, he's the creator. The world was created through him, by him, for him. Mm-hmm. We know all those great, grand scriptures that refer to this. But in his physical humanity, Jesus of Nazareth doesn't have all these things. So he says to the guy, you know, you may not have all these things. I mean, we don't know if the guy understood the answer, but, you know, in 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, Paul writes that through his poverty, his meaning Jesus, capital H, we get rich. You know, this is a very poor situation. And he calls himself the Son of Man, which is interesting. You know, Jesus refers himself to the Son of Man very frequently in the Gospels.
Yeah.
More so than he calls himself the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
He calls himself the Son of Man.
Yeah.
You know, he's emphasizing his humanity. He's emphasizing that he's a flesh and blood descendant of Adam and Eve,
mm-hmm.
just like we are.
Right.
He's our brother in the flesh. He's literally physically descended from Adam and Eve and, you know, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Judah. And we can go through all that stuff.
Right.
King David. And we've been through that many times. But, you know, as a physical man, which he is, I don't say he was because he is a physical man. He didn't have these simple things of comfort that we take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
We take for granted that we have a place to lay our head at night. That we have food to eat, that we have some kind of shelter to live in. And he really calls us to think, you know, when you follow me, you may not have these things. Things aren't going to be like they are now. You have to expect tribulation. You have to expect problems. You know, he said before we talked last week about how you have to be ready to carry your cross every day and follow me. You may not get killed on the cross, but you're going to have this awful burden to carry every day. So if you can't even stand to have your next door neighbor say, man, you're really whacked out about this Jesus business. If you can't even tolerate that, how are you going to tolerate carrying a cross, not having a place to live, not having a place to lay your head, maybe not having any food or any clothes? You know, you're not going to have the discipline to really follow if you can't even be uncomfortable for a moment.
Yeah.
Based on what somebody says. He calls us to put all that stuff aside. Because if we're going to follow him, that stuff, not only we may not have it, but the stuff is not important. It's not going to be what following him is all about. Mm-hmm. Remember the 30,000 people in the auditorium think they're going to get the Mercedes.
Yeah.
He's saying, you may not have anything.
Right.
Following is what's important, not
right.
the stuff that you have.
Right. You know, one of the things in our culture that we think is that when we enter into something, we're going to be better off than
yeah.
when we better off later than when we first entered into something. And you can look at marriage, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marriage is a covenant made by God. And when you exchange vows, you say for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm.
How many couples want to end up worse?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not a place that we want to go.
I can hear you wives out there commenting on
yeah.
that one.
it's cards and letters to fill. But the covenant is 100%, 100% for mm-hmm. both the husband and the wife.
Yes.
So neither one of us are off the hook.
Right.
when one isn't giving 100%, the other one needs to pick up that portion. When the other isn't giving 100%, because it's a covenant relationship, mm-hmm. it's not a contract.
Right. Exactly.
And there's a big difference
yes.
that we probably should talk about sometime.
Yes, we're going to do that.
But, you know, where I was going to go with this is, you know, husbands and wives are supposed to love their spouses with mutual respect for each other and admiration. That's the bottom line there. But, as you're talking about, I'm thinking about how this call to discipleship, when Moses received the Ten Commandments on Sinai, they're no different than what God gave the Israelites to really follow as being a disciple of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You're to love the Lord your God
right.
with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength.
Yes.
And love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes.
And Jesus quotes this.
Deuteronomy 6:4.
Right. As these are the two greatest commandments, and all the rest of the commandments hang on this. They hinge on this.
Yes.
So, and, you know, Paul talks about this.
Mm-hmm.
If you love, you're not in violation of the law.
Right. There's no law against
love. There's no law against love. And if you want to be a disciple of the Lord, and you're talking about, okay, if you have this moment of, well, I'm kind of uncomfortable here. You know, it's a little bit warm. I'm used to 72 degrees and the air conditioning, and I don't have that, and it's 73.
This is unbearable.
Unbearable. We can get pretty spoiled.
Yeah.
Into thinking that, well, I'll preach the gospel when it's just right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little cold. Better turn the heat up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you can get into a mindset of waiting for the perfect time to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is telling this young man, you go and proclaim the kingdom.
Yes, exactly.
Let the dead bury their dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean that we don't respectfully bury our loved ones or
sure.
those who have died.
Mm-hmm.
But it does mean that our commitment to the Lord is to be that focused,
mm-hmm.
unconditional, that our focus is not to be turned away by all the cares mm-hmm. of the world that can take us to a different place where we shouldn't go.
Right.
I heard one spiritual director talking about this, like in prayer time where people would have trouble. They'd say, you know, I'm trying to pray, but I get distracted. And, you know, these thoughts come into my mind and, it's so hard to pray. And I just don't feel like I'm really getting close to the Lord. And they told him one time that, well, you know, if you look at it like barges going down the river, if you're sitting there on the side of the river and you're watching these barges go down. Well, the idea is not to get on board. They can go by, but you just don't get on board and watch them go the rest of the way. You got to focus on what you have to focus on what you're on what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so that call of discipleship is really a stern one. You know, anybody who looks back once they set their hand to the plow is not fit for the kingdom.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody is disqualified.
Yeah. Yes. And that brings up, you know, how you see another difference between among these three, because the first one we just said, he pipes right up, says, I'll follow you.
Mm-hmm.
So now it says Jesus called the next one. So this next guy, guy number two, contestant number two, it says Jesus called him, says, follow me. And now he's calling him saying, follow me, which goes back to, you know, in John 15, 16, Jesus says, you didn't choose me. I chose you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he chooses us to do something.
Right.
Just follow me.
Right.
You know, we're in a different league than the original apostles, but we're important. Every person is important.
Well, in the mindset of saying that I accept that Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
I can tend to think that I chose Christ.
Yes.
That I had a big portion in saying, yeah. Oh, God, I choose you now.
Yeah.
No, God continually drew me and drew me.
And you cooperated.
And I cooperated sometimes. But that love of God is so strong,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it just draws you into the relationship.
Yeah.
And God is the one who drew me back to himself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He calls this guy. He puts that into action. Mm-hmm. Just come on, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
He told all those original apostles, you know, you can read in first chapter of John and Matthew and so forth about how these guys got called. And he says, this guy, come on, follow me. So he says, he's approaching this guy's, now's the time to follow. Now's the time for ministry. Now's the time to proclaim the gospel. And he says, well, first I got to go bury my father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you read the context of the grammar that's used there, in Greek, and when you know about the customs of the kind of language that first century Hebrews spoke to each other, the issue here is that his father is not dead. What he's saying to Jesus is, well, yes, I'll follow, but first I got these family needs. Mm-hmm. First I got my father, and so when he dies, then I'm going to be all set, so I'll be able to follow. He's not dead now, but, you know, it won't be long. So once he's dead, you know, I'm going to follow.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to, you know, thanks for the offer, and I really do want to follow, but right now I'm going to need to postpone it.
Right.
Because I can't do it right now. You have to understand, I'm busy with my father. I'm busy with my job. I'm busy with my kids going to soccer. You have no idea, Jesus, what kind of pressure is on me at work. You have no idea how much work I have to do even after I get home. You have no idea how tied up I am on weekends.
Yeah.
And like, you have no clue that I just don't have time for any of this. And you're going to have to take that into consideration.
You have no idea what kind of day I have.
That's right. And you're going to have to take that into consideration because I've got a lot of worldly cares. I want to do it, but I just can't do it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when baseball season's over, maybe when things get better at work. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, after the new year when, you know, I'm going to have a different job then. I'm going to have a nice, quieter job.
Yeah.
Maybe then I can do
I'll
it.
I'll have more time.
I'll have more time. Or, you know, maybe when I retire. You know, I'm shooting to retire when I'm 65. And then I'm going to have, like, a lot of time during the day. So then I can do some serious following.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, yeah. That might be 20 years from now. But, you know, don't worry. I'm into the following thing. I just can't do it right now.
Yeah.
So Jesus says, forget this, you know, let the dead bury the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And what is he talking about? You know, let the spiritually dead people bury the other spiritually dead people.
Mm-hmm.
Let the spiritually dead people bury the physically dead people. Let the dead bury the dead.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be alive in me. You're supposed to be following.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be preaching the kingdom. You're supposed to be, your life now is me. You know, Paul says, I don't even have my own life anymore. I've been crucified.
Right.
I don't even live anymore.
Right.
It's Christ who lives in me.
Right.
So Jesus is saying to this guy, I want to live in you. I want you to do these things. I want you to go and preach the kingdom. go and proclaim the gospel. Die to yourself. And the worldly things, the family things, the job things are not as important as this. Those things will all be worked out because, you know, he says in Matthew, when you, you know, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things are going to be taken care of. But you got to be ready to follow.
Right.
And, ooh, Marty's been. I was just on a roll, too.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to have a break. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. And there's some podcasts out, too, that you can find there how to hook into them. We'll be back in just a minute.
I call you friend. That's what you are. All that I do, I share with you. I have no secrets. I have no need to keep them to myself. For I tell you till the end, I call you my friend. You call me master, and so I am. All that I do, you will do. I'll whisper, and what you hear, you'll shout aloud out to a world that's near its end. I call you my friend. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give. Truly I say to you, you'll have tribulation, but have no fear, dear one, be of good cheer. Truly I have overcome, you too will overcome. So come, my friend, I know who you are. Before you were, I knew of you. You've so many secrets, you've so many needs. Don't keep them to yourself, no one to help you in the end. Just call my name. I'm always the same. I search for all who will claim the love I send, so I can call them friend. Say, can I call you my friend?
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
Yes, it is.
You know, Jesus says he's our friend. You know, he says servants don't know what their master's about, and we know what he's about, so we're his friends.
Yeah.
And we're also, like we said before, we're his brothers in the flesh, which is pretty cool. Cause,
yes, it is.
Yeah. So our judge is our brother and our friend. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
We got better odds now. Anyway, sorry. So there's one last guy here. So Jesus reaches out to another guy. He says, it says he called another who says, oh yeah, I'm really into this following thing and I've been listening to you and this sounds really, really cool. But first I got to go home and say bye to everybody. I mean, that sounds like a reasonable thing. Mm-hmm. And actually, the guy before this sounds like a pretty reasonable thing, too, if he's got obligations with his family. So this guy says, I got to go home and say bye to everyone. So Jesus says, well, forget it then. And what he's getting at is he doesn't want this person to be distracted by his family members, to be distracted by whatever worldly things are going to go on at his house. He may go home and his parents or his brothers or sisters or somebody may say, you're going to do what?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to follow who? That guy you just, this guy you just met for the first time? You're going to leave all this stuff here and you're going to go follow him? That seems pretty irrational. Have you, you know, kind of thought about what you're doing here? This seems kind of crazy. And you can see if this is a young guy and his father would say to him, you know, you better think about this. He may say, well, you know, my father's probably right. I better not go do this. And so, oh, well, I'll just stay here and, you know, that Jesus guy is going to have to just do without me. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't want him to go home first because, again, preaching the kingdom is an important thing. The gospel is an urgent thing. Mm-hmm. It's urgent.
Right.
All capital letters. Because, sure, you know, Jesus may come back 100 years from now, but the person you're talking to this minute may die before the day's over. The person that you'd mentioned, that you mentioned the gospel to yesterday may have another week to live. We don't know that.
Right.
The gospel is always urgent. So Jesus says, you know, you're not going to go home and fool around for 2 weeks with your family and then decide whether you're going to come or not. Either you're going to come or you're not. So if you're going to do that, you're not really committed to this. You're not really committed to this gospel. And then he uses this great analogy of the plow. You know, when you put your hands to the plow, that doesn't mean much to us. You know, we live in a city. Nobody plows. Even farmers out on a farm who plow don't have a wooden plow with a thing that sticks into the ground.
Yeah.
And a team of horses or, you know, oxen or whatever, pulling the thing with the guy kind of strapped to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have your hands on the handles and you got to watch where the animals go. And you can't look back.
Why would that be?
Well, because when you look back, what happens? The oxen start to walk off in random directions. And instead of getting a nice straight furrow, your furrow's a mess. So people go, yeah.
Oh, I see.
So people drive by your farm and they go, man.
What a goofy farm.
What a Bob's farm looks horrible. Man, is
he drunk or what?
Yeah, like he's got furrows all over the place. And one furrow goes into the road and he's never going to be able to plant anything. Because you have to not only hold on and not only not look back, but you have to have your eyes fixed in front of you. So what he's telling these guys is they have to have their eyes fixed on him.
Mm-hmm.
They're moving toward him. You know, when we're moving on the narrow road, when we're heading to the narrow gate, we're moving toward him.
Yeah.
We're not looking back and say, man, those people on the broad road. Look, I used to be on the broad road and, you know, actually it was kind of fun over there too.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like on the edge of the narrow road going, whoa, I almost fell off. But, you know, you got to keep your eyes fixed forward to guide the animals so that you can make a straight furrow.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's the word discipline comes from disciple.
Exactly.
And in anything that we do as human beings, if we don't have discipline, and we don't discipline ourselves to stay focused, to work diligently and to study and really be disciplined enough to learn the best way to, whether it's playing an instrument, there's proper technique to play an instrument.
Like guitar.
Mm-hmm. Singing.
Mm-hmm. I can identify with that.
There's, you know, you can go about, if you don't have proper training, you can go about trying to learn an instrument and it could take years and years and you can never master it. But if you get proper training and you have the skill and the physical ability to do it and the God-given talent to do it, you can become a pretty good musician.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be disciplined to do it.
Yeah.
You have to be disciplined to study and graduate from grade school, high school, or a college.
That's right.
It takes a lot of discipline.
That's right.
You know, a lot of drive and determination. It takes discipline to keep your eyes focused on not just a phrase,
mm-hmm.
not just, but a mission.
Mm-hmm.
What's my mission in life? What
exactly.
has God given me to do? What's my purpose?
Exactly.
And when you become a disciple of the Lord, when you say, I'm going to follow the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength, and you count the cost and say, no matter what, Lord, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to give you the grace to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be easy.
Right.
You have to be realistic about what's going to be ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
But that discipline of keeping our eyes focused on him, like when Peter walked out on the water and Jesus was there in the storm, you know, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come out on the water.
Yeah.
Come. As long as Peter kept his eyes on Christ,
yeah.
he was walking on the water.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as he looked away and looked at the storm clouds.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Lord, help me. I'm drowning.
What am I doing out here?
What am I doing out here? I got to be crazy for stepping out of the boat and walking on the water.
Yeah.
But you were.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at the storms that are passing by, and certainly we have to take notice, but our eyes are focused on the Lord because he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life.
Yes.
No other way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other path.
Yes. And fixed, and this is what this last thing is about, you know. You're fixed on him. You can't look backwards. This is the ultimate in discipleship. And when you're plowing a field with a horse and a wooden plow, you know, you're not done with the thing in 10 minutes. You're not done with the thing in a couple of hours.
Mm-mm.
It's a long process where you have to be, as you said, so disciplined that it's very difficult to do it on your own. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to
exactly
embolden you and strengthen you to do this.
Exactly.
I can't believe the show's over already. Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that the Lord would strengthen you to be that disciple and walk on the road that he's asked you to walk on. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.